From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, supporters are speaking up for the Fort Worth veterinarian who's been accused of animal abuse. We'll start with a seminar on the Federal Reserve and monetary policy. Now, those words usually don't exactly get the blood racing, but as KERA's Bill Zeebel reports, headliner and former Fed Chief Ben Bernanke teamed with his host, George W. Bush, for an unusually candid, even entertaining series of chats.
The George W. Bush Presidential Center doesn't offer a major seminar like this without a few words from the former president.
We're trying to advance the notion that our economy can grow better, and one way to do so is to educate people about how all aspects of the levers work.
Bush thanked the participants from the world of finance and moderators Maria Bartiromo from Fox Business and Al Hubbard, a former Bush aide.
We've had two moderators, one cute and smart, and the other one was Al Hubbard. I want to thank Maria for coming as well, and you too, Hubbard.
Bartiromo moderated a discussion between Regional Fed President Richard Fisher of Dallas and John Williams from San Francisco. They agreed the Fed's so-called dual policy is working by keeping interest rates down while improving the climate for job growth through stable prices. Fisher then trotted out a little wordplay.
You know, you hear about the dual mandate. With Congress, dual is spelled D-U-E-L. So we know that inflation is a monetary phenomenon. We're obviously all schooled in that theory and understand that fully. As far as achieving full employment, again, we can only provide the fuel. And that's where the dual is, the DUEL.
That's Congress's job, said Fisher, but they haven't acted.
We're the gang that can't shoot straight.
When Bush's former chief of staff, Joshua Bolton, talked to Ben Bernanke, the former Fed chief was both blunt and funny. He oversaw one of the toughest fiscal periods in recent history. In 2008, the housing market crashed, triggering huge bank failures, including the end of the storied institution Lehman Brothers. He warned then-President Bush the nation faced another possible Great Depression. Now, 5 months after leaving as Federal Reserve Chairman, he was asked what he'd like his legacy to be.
Did the best he could under tough circumstances. I'm writing a book now. I'm trying to begin a book process, and I think it, more than just selling a book, I think I'm really interested in the personal therapy here. I really want to go back and think through all these decisions.
But the nation did avoid financial collapse, he pointed out, and the world of banking and monetary policy are more transparent. And he owned up to his mistakes. Bernanke quipped, he's still trying to understand what they all were. Bill Zeebel, KERA News.
Supporters of Fort Worth veterinarian Lou Tierce have launched a social media campaign to defend him. His Camp Bowie Animal Clinic has been shut down and his license suspended while the state investigates allegations of animal abuse. KERA's Dwali Saikautau talked to several of the animal lovers who are devoted to Dr. Tierce.
For four decades, 71-year-old Lou Tierce ran his business as if he was in rural America.
He's an old-school country veterinarian, and if he was in the country, this wouldn't have been an issue.
That's Bill Watson, who's been taking his three pet goats and his four dogs to Dr. Tierce for 15 years. He doesn't believe that his vet is capable of animal cruelty.
Put yourself with a dog in your hand, beating on the door at 11 o'clock at night. I've been there. I've knocked on the door at 11 o'clock, know that he's in there, and I didn't get turned away saying this is not doctor hours. And anybody who can say he's any of those things never had a dog.
Marianne Harris was a loyal customer, too, for 26 years. Sid, her 5-year-old Leonberger, was supposed to have been euthanized last year on advice by this same vet. Turns out, Dr. Tierce didn't kill the 170-pound dog and is accused of using him as a blood donor. At first, she didn't believe it either.
I was such a loyal customer and client here that had this not personally happened to me, I would be saying the same thing.
Harris was reunited with her dog after a former employee quit the clinic and told her that Sid was still alive, and now she's suing. Maybe mistakes were made inside the clinic, says Josh Gill, who has a boxer and has been taking the dog to Dr. Tierce for years.
He always had a gentle spirit and just a kindness towards all the animals. The way he handled my dog never seemed tense. My dog never seemed timid or scared. I've had my dog for over 8 years now, and it's because of Dr. Tirasat today. And every day I get to go home and see my best friend.
Gil is now a member of a group called StandUpForDrTierce.com. They created a Facebook page and made this YouTube video.
Hello, I'm Jackie Ballard, and this is Sydney, Gemma, and Tex, all clients of Dr. Tierce.
The video inspired Lori Hall to defend her longtime veterinarian publicly.
I want to see him given the chance to come back. He has a lot of good left to do for people. He's such a knowledgeable man that he deserves to keep on practicing.
Hanya Nutt, an Arlington resident, says Dr. Tierce is compassionate and the most experienced vet she knows.
If my dog, any of my animals right now, were to have an issue, I would not know what to do without Dr. Tierce at this point.
Asked if she thought it was right to bleed a dog without consent of its owners, she says,
if that is what he needed to do to save another dog's life, and my dog happened to be a match, I would expect him to do what he needs to do from a medical, I trust him.
50 of the vet's customers traveled to Austin 2 weeks ago for a hearing on his license. A new hearing is scheduled later this summer. Dr. Tierce declined to comment through his employees and his lawyers. Dwahli Saikautau, KERA News.
In the movie industry dominated by Hollywood filmmakers, John Waters has always stood out. The writer and director of such films as Hairspray and Pink Flamingos has lived most of his life not in Hollywood, but in his hometown of Baltimore. Today on Think, he told Chris Boyd that the days when an artist needed to move to L.A. or New York to pursue a career are over.
I don't think anybody thinks that anymore. With the internet and global culture, it doesn't matter where I live as long as there's an airport near. These days, you can see every movie online. It used to be when I was young, you had to move to New York or L.A. to see movies, to see art. You can see everything today. Everybody can be cool in no matter what little town they live in the world. There's cool people. They have access to everything. So in some ways, it's made it duller because I travel all the time for work, and you can't tell the difference. Everywhere's the same now. It's the same chain stores from the airport. It's the kids look the same. It's the same everywhere. But it's much cooler everywhere. So I think in the long run, local color vanishes, but international coolness gets better.
John Waters performs his one-man show, This Filthy World, at the Kessler Theater on May 29th. His new book, Carsick, about hitchhiking across America, is available in June. Today's Think Conversation re-airs tonight at 9 on KERA, or you can get the podcast at kera.org/think. For the evening, partly cloudy skies with a low around 66. Tomorrow should be mostly clear with a high near 85. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low near 68. It's currently 85 degrees in Dallas, 84 in Fort Worth, 83 in Tyler, and 91 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.